What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Forever Dog.
I didn't like him, but my stepfather loves westerns. Like, he, like,
I had
loves
a lot
them.
Of family members, yeah, who loved
was
westerns.
Was obsessed. Like, knew about all, like,
John
Black
Wayne.
Cowboys. Like, he definitely watched John Wayne and stuff like that. And it's tricky, man, because recently I think people started looking up stuff that John Wayne in particular started saying, but of course, like, he was a little
big old McCarthy dude.
Yeah, you know, he was a different dude. But yeah, I used to love Western. One of my favorites is 310 to Yuma, the remake with Christian Bale, and
I never saw that. Yeah.
It's so good.
I struggle with Western sort of in the same way I struggle with war movies. Like, it's likely that, like, I can probably handle them and watch them as we watch more war movies, but like, the lawlessness and the fact that, like, just out of nowhere anybody could just get shot is something that I like, I just don't have the constitution for that. Like, I can't just be watching something and have somebody get shot out of nowhere. So I never really got into them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wasn't, like, a big Western fan, but I definitely saw a lot, I feel like, because I remember seeing, like, Young Guns and, like, Posse, and liking those a lot. You know, eventually I saw, like, what is it? Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But I wasn't, like, one of those people. I didn't really watch John Wayne movies. Like, I saw them, like, every now and then. I went over to my uncle's house. He had all these John Wayne movies.
You ever see Tombstone?
Oh, is that
it is one of the best performances I've seen. It's like, man, he was really good. Val Kilmer was so good in it. Like,
Kurt Russell.
He plays Doc Holliday, I think, but Doc Holliday's, like, dying the whole time. He's so good. It's like, if you watch old Val Kilmer movies, you're like, yo, this dude, I think he even admitted in his doc he was an asshole, but, like, he was so good, man.
I've seen American Tale 3, Fievel Goes West. Y'all seen that?
I mean,
Fievel
Goes West. I have seen it.
Yes.
Yeah, I have seen it.
I'm about that.
Yeah. I love that. I love it because he's small, you know, and the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Wow. Why did I do this? why did I provide that?
I mean, you really did.
That's why it's a good Western, is what I'm saying, James, because he's a little mouse, you know? He's not like some big, hulking, you know, lumberjack of a person. I don't know if you know the saying. They say, the bigger they are.
Don't finish it. I know what you're about to say. I know the saying.
The harder they fall.
Wow. All right.
Wow. Okay.
I wanted to legitimately talk about Fievel.
Oh, and we should. Absolutely. I mean, it's not the movie we're reviewing today, but I forgot what we're reviewing today. But the reason
Fievel. You forgot what we were reviewing today?
Yeah, I don't remember. But I do remember Fievel Goes West because he's like, he has a little cowboy hat.
Yes, you know? He does.
He's like almost too small for his clothes, which is cool because the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That makes no sense.
Get us out of here.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James III,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what?
Black actors. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Rufus Book. Look at you. Relic of yesteryear with nothing. Ain't nobody scared of you. Ain't nobody running. I'm a sinister motherfucker too. So I suggest you leave before I finish my steak.
Honestly, great.
Oh my God, fucking great. I love that you remember that.
Fucking great.
I wanted to do the whole speech. No, I had to cut stuff out. I couldn't even do the whole thing.
Right.
It's so
the most,
long.
But it's definitely great. Maybe the best speech in the movie, and it's delivered to no one.
but you knew the whole time no one was there.
Part of me thought, I was like, we're about to see this dude get shot in a close-up. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I was like, we're just about to see this dude get shot.
Yo.
They saved that for later.
All right. First off, that was good. Cause I didn't know what you were going to go with. That was a good one. I wasn't expecting that.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that is definitely my favorite part of the movie.
State. All right. Guys, I don't know if you know this,
what's that?
But we are a film review podcast, okay? We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And this voice you're listening to right now, that sounds like the law. That sounds like it has a badge on. That
nigga, you sound like a deputy.
Keeps things in order. Hey,
my man said,
"Hey,
I feel like you got a whistle. I feel like I don't know what y'all got the whistle.
All right,
but I feel like that's definitely what you.
I don't like this.
So rude.
This sheriff's voice.
This nigga sound like a lifeguard."
It's so wrong.
I'm sorry. Like a deputy.
You finished. Your voice sounds like, I feel like we could do this all day. This is fun. You know what your voice sounds like?
That dies early in the movie.
Nah, you sound like a crossing guard. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay.
You sound like the person that makes sure you get in line at the cafeteria, but you don't cut. This nigga sound like a security guard at Six Flags. Okay, I'm done.
He's not gonna stop.
Security guard at Six Flags? Wow.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Shit.
That was great.
Oh, sorry. This voice that's having a great time. Is that a Gerard Milligan?
Too good.
And this voice is James the Third.
Hey, it's like you having a good time, James.
I am. The digs just kept coming. I don't know how much. I don't think I appreciated it. I think I was offended.
Whatever. This is the first time I've ever said something back. I don't listen to this man do that shit for episode after episode. I can't take no more, okay?
All right. Today we're reviewing the film The Harder They Fall. I guess that makes sense because I was riding pretty high for 6 years of this podcast. So,
wow.
What?
What? Okay.
Oh my God. 6 years. Oh God.
All right. We're reviewing The Harder They Fall. This is a Western film created by Netflix. It stars
everybody black.
People.
Everybody just funny black.
Body
Jonathan Majors, Idris Elba, Zazie Beetz, Regina King, Delroy Lindo, Keith Stanfield, RJ Seiler, Dion Cole, Daniel Deadweiler. That's her real name?
Hell yeah. What was his name in the movie?
Wow, Daniel Deadweiler has a name that could actually be a Western name.
Wow. Well, and, there was one woman in there who was fucking great. Is that her?
Yes. No.
She was so good. Like on Danielle. Oh, Daniel? Yeah, Danielle. Damn. Danielle. Sorry, Danielle Detweiler.
Danielle.
Yeah. Danielle. No, Damon Wayans Jr. Sorry, was in
when
this.
I say Danielle.
Yes, yeah. That was great.
Like, oh, right. Damon Wayans Jr.
That's
DeWanda Wise was in here. I was like, yo, y'all put everybody in this jump.
A lot of people in here.
It was great.
I don't believe it has a box office.
Did it release in theaters though?
It did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Had a. I don't know if it's still going on, but it. I think like maybe 2 weeks ago they started putting it in some theaters.
Its box office is like $20,000.
Yeah. So yeah. It was like, I mean, I saw like maybe two showings a day. You know.
Netflix likes to just. Yeah, put it
did
in
Did they
like
do that
LA
so they can be nominated for something?
100%. Yes, that's what they do.
Gotcha.
Currently has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's too
Audience
low.
Score is 93%.
There you go. 93, cool. Baby.
That makes more
sense. What are these critics doing?
Wasn't enough white cowboys in it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They ain't had not one.
They went to the white town though. They went to the white town
and robbed that jump and got away. God.
Yeah. So
I'm going first.
Go ahead. I mean, yeah. Is there anything else to say, really?
I mean, it's a Western about like a guy who's seeking revenge on a guy who killed his parents. So it's like gang versus gang. You know,
gang.
That's right.
Gang versus gang.
That's right.
I love this movie. Honestly, this is a movie that I wish I was in. Even if I got shot, it would have been great. It would have been so fun. I thought the way they used music was cool. I thought it was like super stylized. I don't know, man. It just felt like a cool ass movie. It's hard for me to talk about the plot because I really wasn't paying attention to that in any way, shape, or form, to be honest.
What?
Like, I really wasn't. I was just like, yo. Like, Jonathan Majors was doing slow motion shoots, and I was like, shots. I'm like, this is cool. Zazzy was walking around with a shotgun. No one even, at one point when the shootout is happening at the end, the main celebrities are like just in the open, and none of them get shot for real. And I'm like, no one's got cover. Like, no one's.
No, Eddie was in the, he was above in the.
I mean, like the celebs. I mean, like Regina, Zazzy, literally at one point Regina's walking away,
right,
and don't
right.
It's not a bullet near her. I was like, this shit is crazy. But I was here for it, man. Like, Jonathan Majors, I think, is like very cool. Like, I think he's very interesting because he's like such a tough dude but plays vulnerable so well without like losing any of that classic Hollywood masculinity. I mean, seeing Regina and Zazzy have a fight that was better than any male hand-to-hand fight or shootout in this scene was crazy. Like, they was whipping each other's ass in this movie. But yeah, man, I was a fan of it. Like, I looked at this guy, like, yeah, music video dude from Britain, Jay-Z, and Swiss Beatz produced and helped the music. I was like, this shit was fire. And these people were real. I Googled them. Like, he was right. These people were actually real. So that was great. Yeah, I'm here for it. Give me a sequel. Oh, yeah. Sorry. One last thing. I think it should have been in theaters. I would have saw this movie in theaters, and I think the Black community was shortchanged because we didn't get to watch this on a big screen. I think it would have done well. It has enough celebrities to do well. I think it should have been in theaters, but that's just me. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Another thing. Sorry.
Okay.
Stop fucking with you. I'm fucking with you.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, no. This movie is, I feel like, the dream of what Black men can't jump in Hollywood.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it is, and it's so good so quickly too that you're like, oh my goodness, like, yeah, like,
yes.
You know, it both delights my soul so much and weirdly makes me mad that it took so long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not to say, because obviously there have been Black questions before, right? Like, we talked about Posse, but like, there's just something about this that feels like it's such an obvious blockbuster movie. And I think you're right, Jarrell. Like, if it was in theaters, it would have done so well.
Can you say that one more time?
That this is a blockbuster movie? And
I think you said something different.
If it was in theaters, it would have done so well.
Yeah.
Before that, literally, it was like right before that.
Right before that.
Oh, I said, I think. Therefore, I am.
Okay. Okay. We'll try again. It's okay. We keep okay. going.
You know
we'll
what? We gotta check the tape. We can check the tape.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Right. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe check the tape on that. No, man. I mean, the other thing I love, the thing I loved about this movie, I mean, it just felt so classic immediately, right? And like, yeah. you could tell that the director, is it James? Is it pronounced James?
I think yes. so.
Or, James.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James Samuel, like, you could tell he loves Westerns. It very much followed like a classic kind of Western plot. It had this really cool opening, credit sequence, like showing the people in their poses. Oh, yeah, yeah. It made me want to be in this movie so bad.
Oh, my
I
God.
Mean, like, I can only imagine how much fun they all had. The directing was incredible. The acting was amazing. It, you know, I definitely want to see more. I'm like both delighted that they did the classic kind of Western trope in which a lot of people do die. And by the spoilers, by the way, we will be spoiling this movie. Sometimes we tell you, most of the time we don't. but I am like a little sad that there are some characters we don't get to see again because they're dead.
Yeah.
But you know, this movie was very, very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have too much more to say outside of what y'all have already said. I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. I will say something that's a little bit different for how I viewed this movie, for how I've viewed other movies like this with a vibrant black cast and like, you know, younger black actors and then also some you know, older, more established black actors like this. Like oftentimes I see it and I'm like fuming with jealousy, but just like with y'all, it was like, it was like, I don't know if it felt like I wanted to be in this movie, but it really, I felt like inspired and encouraged to keep working after seeing this, instead of being like, this movie exists and therefore, and these actors are the people that are employed and therefore I can't work anymore. Like it is how I often view a lot of movies like this, but there was something, right. I don't know. There was something really motivating about it. You know, I thought the acting was so good. I thought, I've been a fan of RJ's since Power Rangers. And like, oh. I don't know. I loved his part in this. I thought he was so great.
Was a dying girl. It's like me, Earl, and the dying girl. It was like his first movie as an indie. He's so good in it.
I gotta see it. That Scream series. He's great in that too.
Oh, he's in Scream?
Yeah, he's in the
black
series.
Scream.
He's in the Black Scream.
The Black yeah. Scream. Yes, with Keke Palmer right now.
He's the lead of Black Scream.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited to talk about specific things as we get into it. Oh, something that I found out is Jonathan Majors didn't audition for this at all. And also the director had never seen him act before. See, it's not unusual that he didn't audition being somebody of that stature, but the director also had never seen him act before. He heard him speak in an interview and was like, that's Nat Love.
Wow. I mean, you think about it, Jonathan's career has been so interesting.
I mean, he probably looked up his IMDb at least, though. You know what I mean?
It's like, this nigga's in a, like, John's been signed on for Marvel before. Like, that nigga knew. Like, it wasn't like, he knew. There's no fucking way. There's
but
no
had
way.
Never seen. Had never.
But you didn't
seen
need to.
That's
this
the
nigga
lead
is
of your
famous.
Movie.
This nigga's famous.
That's the lead of your movie.
By the time Jonathan filmed this, he had already finished Lovecraft, and he already has signed his deal with Marvel. There's no way this director didn't know. Like, oh, this nigga's on the come up. There's
I mean,
no
of
way.
Of course. I'm just saying. I just find
do
that
you,
to be.
Do you? I mean, I. It sounds like he heard the interview and was like, "That's why I'm going to cast him." But don't you think he saw him act before they finalized?
I'm saying the story is. I'm saying
you don't think he like watched one episode of Loki.
I'm saying the story is that he didn't. This man didn't audition. I had never seen him act before. I saw an interview and I was like, "That's him. That's the story."
Yeah, I mean, correct.
Must be nice. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Honestly, yes.
He was great. Like I think he deserves all the stuff. He's
absolutely
great.
Yeah. Oh, and this movie, I mean, it's got to be up for awards, right?
I hope so.
If it doesn't win.
Because they Oscars love a Western.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think it should definitely be up. I mean, it felt very, I hope this doesn't sound rude, but it felt like a true homage to like Westerns, where I feel like there's some other directors who've made popular Westerns, but when you watch it, you're like, oh, this shot is just taken from this movie. This thing is just taken from this movie.
Right.
Where this felt like a fresh, nope. Nope.
Okay, you're not gonna say
I'm trying to work. I'm trying to work. This was like a fresh take on. I think Bray said
what
it right.
What was that
it
Western like, that Leonardo DiCaprio was in?
All right. Well, I think I agree though.
No, remember young little Leonardo DiCaprio?
He was in. He wasn't in Tombstone. It was the one with Sharon Stone. It was the one with Sharon Stone.
It was
Stone.
Like the
Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Dead.
Is that it? I just know that as a title. I don't know. Again, I feel uncomfortable about Westerns because people about to die.
The Quick and the Dead. Yes. And he was the kid. Yeah. He was basically who RJ was.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
In that movie. Gene Hackman's in that.
Yes. Yeah. Gene Hackman's a big bad guy. Oh, he kills Neo. That's right.
Absolutely. Of course. But see, that's the thing. That's the thing about that movie, right? It's like, I know going into that movie that I'm going to see Leonardo DiCaprio die. And I'm just like, I hate this. I'm like, I don't want to see. This movie starts and you're like, okay, these are the people that could die.
Oh.
And they are the ones that die.
Once my man RJ says he has the fastest hands in the West, I was like, well, you're dead.
It's so funny. I didn't think he was dead because I didn't know the names of the other characters yet because I didn't watch the thing. So I didn't know he was dead until I saw it was Lakeith. Who was Cherokee Bill? And I was like, ah, oh, shit. I was like, dude, they definitely ain't killing Lakeith. I was like, at least not first. I was like,
yeah, right.
Like, he didn't get killed first.
But I agree with you, Gerard. This really felt like a classic Western, even though I've already established that I've only seen a couple. But there was something very, like, you know, there was just something very... It felt very much, very traditional about it. It felt very much like, like I'm a part of a history here.
It felt great. Like the opening was dope with the lines, like the story is fake, but the people are real. But opening on this scene felt very Tarantino. And you knew it was like the tension was so good because like you knew something was going to happen to this family. It was just too nice. Everything was too calm. I was confused at the very top of like why this was going down. I thought the payoff of this was really good.
Yeah, me too.
But like, DeJuan is in this scene. The dude from Soul Food who has sex with Cousin Faith. I never liked that nigga. Ever since he had sex with Cousin Faith, I ain't never liked him.
Was a movie. That was a movie.
James.
So he was playing a part in a movie.
James,
He
should have been worse at his job.
Okay, okay, all right.
I don't even talk to people named Faith. Like, I legit met a woman named Faith. I was like, dog, I'm sorry. It's like a nigga named Leroy. I don't.
What's worse is he was just as bad in this movie.
Yes, he was.
Still doing that. He's still on that.
He was bad. He was bad. What was that? The love movie, Bill Street, when he smacked.
Oh my God!
Hippolyta.
I feel like stuff like that is like black people that saw him have sex with Faith and that now are in the position to cast him. They're like, all right, this the asshole. They're like, get that nigga that has sex with Faith to do this part.
Yes. No, but I thought that scene was awesome, man. I don't know. I thought it was so cool how they shot it. Like, I figured they were gonna like hold. On showing Idris's face for a while because he was the big bad, if you will. I didn't realize they were going to never show it in that opening scene.
Well, he showed it a little bit.
Yeah, when he had two guns.
When they opened the door.
Yeah. Idris is so cool, man. Like,
I couldn't with how cool he was in this.
Like,
it was almost offensive.
It was perfect.
it was so cool, man. And the thing is, it's like he... I don't know if he has an issue with how he walks, but like his limp to the side thing, where he's like always caught to the side, it just, he looks cool, man. He just looks so cool to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yo.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger, for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
I mean, the casting was perfect, I feel like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, the grave and the cross, and then after that, you cut straight to the adult version of, you know, Jonathan Majors, who was so smooth. I mean, his posture also was cool because, like, he always kind of, like, leans back and cop to the side a little bit. Doesn't matter if he's crying. Right. It doesn't matter if he's, like, trying to evaluate the situation. It just feels like a cool move.
Yeah, this scene in the church was really cool. Like, I love the way that it was the distance they put between them.
Yeah.
And the pastor is there and like, mm-hmm. but then when he shoots the guy who we know as the guy who had his hand on his shoulder, because mm-hmm. we see his tattoo or something, there was some kind of
scorpion
tattoo. But when he shoots him and the title comes up with each shot,
I was like, oh, my. And then the last shot, my great. Man flew.
Especially because he just kept like flying back. And then he like shot, like he did one of those things where I love where they get shot so hard, they jump up in the air, and then he shoots him again.
And he goes
so
down.
He's in the air.
He's so good. And that music is fire. And then they do the dope thing of like when you see the outside and it's like Netflix presents. The director's scroll kind of like came in old school style, almost like a glitch, and it went right back. I was like, this shit is
It was great.
Yo, man.
Not to talk about every little thing because I know we're still doing this opening, but it was so cool when he was like, listen, take this man in. He'll get about $5,000 for your church. Why can't you take him in? I'm worth 10.
I'm worth 10.
Yo, that shit was fire.
That
shit was fire. To me, like, yo, the one thing also in this movie I think is so great is that this movie does take place at a time where, like, the world is still racist, but no one says the N-word. And the moment a character is about to say the N-word, which is, I'm only saying it because we're about to get to that next scene, is Regina just hauls off and just shoots this nigga just off break. They gave her the Denzel Malcolm X like finger point.
Yeah, that was great.
Yo, show him your face. Yo, come on, man. I ain't want them
also,
to fight.
Also, you know you saw a Tesla Coffis, actually. The name on the train
C.A. Bozeman.
C.A. Bozeman.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
C.A. Bozeman. Yeah. Yo, the only thing that I think I don't like about this movie is I was hoping that, I guess that makes it better. I was hoping that like somehow the groups were going to like team up and like take down, I don't know, somebody else. Because I didn't want to see them fight. It was like the two, like I didn't want to see Regina have to fight Zazie. Like I didn't want to see, like, even though Idris deserved it, I didn't.
I agree. I felt the same way, you know, at the beginning. I was like, I love all these people. I don't want them to hate each other. But then there was something so satisfying about that, like, final fight between Zazie and Regina. I was like,
it was crazy.
Whoop her ass. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
it was crazy.
I needed her to kick Regina King's ass. And at the beginning of the movie, I didn't want that at all. There was something great about the storytelling that hooked me.
Man, Regina King's career is so cool. I know we say this every time, but it's like, you know, she's been around for so long. And, like, usually, you know, when we watch some of these older black movies, like the holiday ones, she's not normally like the lead or like even like the super attractive one in the movie. Like I remember one holiday movie, it was like she was getting cheated on and like she was in lingerie and the guy was like, eh. And now I'm looking at her and like she is so like, and it's so hard. It's like her attractiveness is in the power she has. Like her, like her essence just feels like, yo, don't get fucked up. Like it just feels so good. It was cool watching her in this. Just give her a spinoff. Just show me her origin story. You know what I'm saying? What's next? It's the heist, right? It's the getting
the
bitches out.
The heist from stealing the money from the red.
First we see the
crimson
red.
What was it? They were crimson or some shit. The
crimson hoods.
The crimson hoods.
Crimson Hood gang. and they rob a bank. We see them rob a bank. We see them kind of run away, and then they start getting shot by my man. I forgot his name.
Disrespected so much, because you know what? The biggest travesty to ever happen in an X-Men movie is my
Darwin is
my boy Darwin, who is like, I have the ability to adapt to anything. They kill one X-Men, and it's the black one. And the bullshit line is adapt this.
Adapt to this is the worst. I will never forget that line because it's the most like hokey, like because he didn't adapt to it. I'll never forget.
He's the only X-Men to die in that movie. He's the only, yo. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And the
it.
Writers were like, adapt to this. Yes.
That's definitely in the room together. yes. Darwin was popping. Pop, pop, popping.
Pop, 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 pop. And then RJ come out too.
Yo, Billy was fire. Okay. Because when he was a Blue Ranger, they didn't give him that love like this. But when he was in this, he was cocky. He was smooth.
Same name.
But that's what I... That was his character, Billy, in this.
Oh, shit. I got to say
that's
name.
What I love about him as an actor is every time I've seen him, he's very different than the last thing that he was in. He's super
that's
versatile.
So true.
And I couldn't get over how cool he was. He's obviously he's the young, has that nervous energy kind of guy, but it was like, I don't know, he was so cool. He was really cool about him.
Yeah, he's Earl. I'm gonna call him Earl because I can't be calling him the same name as the character in the movie. That's not my thing.
Bad. I'm wrong. Darwin was Bill. Was Billy.
Oh, gotcha.
RJ was Jim. RJ was right. Jim.
I'm gonna say Earl. I feel like Earl fits a Western. And I love how they killed. Oh, they also the guy who I think plays Bobby Brown, was one of the dude with one eye who he's like anytime they say Jim is a good kid, I say he ain't no good kid, and he shoots that nigga. I'd rather die than listen to this.
I'd rather die than listen to you.
And he just shoots this. I love that. Honestly, James, thinking about you and being like how you don't like when people just arbitrarily get murked like that. This movie, niggas was just getting shot.
It makes it really hard to watch them because you're just like, you could be watching just a casual scene and someone will just get shot.
Yo, honestly, shot in the face. Damon Wayans was so good in his brief moments. He was so fun, man.
Y'all don't know who you stealing from.
I know, with his mutton chop. I was like, come on, man. What is this? This mutton chop and his modern haircut. I was like, get this, nigga. I thought that was so cool, man.
And then we meet, what's her name, Mary?
Mary is Zazie. We see Regina first.
Right, we see, what's the name? What's the character's name?
Regina's character, right?
Trudy. Oh, we see Regina
first?
Do we
see that train height?
I think it goes from them to Trudy, right? Or am I wrong?
Ooh, yeah, you're right, because they break out before we really get any quiet scenes with Majors and Zazie.
That's right,
and stuff.
Because they take him to go to Jonathan Majors, and that's when he finds out they broke him out. So yes, I think Trudy is next. I just love that she stands in front. First off, that shot was cool. You knew what was happening. She was gonna stand on the tracks. Camera was gonna go under. But it was something about her immediately shooting this dude. Oh no, is it different? Is it different, Bray?
I don't know. Actually, I'm like trying to think. I feel like they might have broken up all those scenes because I feel like he tells them like he's getting out, or she's like, no, you know he's still in jail, you know. So I don't feel like we see Idris get out before we know that he's in jail.
Before we know that he's in jail, yes.
And it's Mary, who's the one. Yeah. They kind of go back and forth, baby. Cause I don't know if we see that whole scene or
He cuts. So I'm seeing the close notes. He cuts from them robbing to when Nate lands at Zazie's spot.
That's right. Yeah. They just didn't finish it. Right.
Though
we could talk about it as a whole anyway, because that train robbing scene, breakout scene was.
It was
awesome.
Great. I mean, yeah. I love show me your faces. Show me your faces.
A thing that stuck out to me was specifically the rendering of Cherokee Bill's.
Yeah.
Cherokee Bill, his character, because he's like, I don't do guns. But he's apparently right. The fastest. Or I don't do violence. It's not that he doesn't do guns. He's like, I don't do violence.
I don't like violence. Man.
And then he like just chops up the guy's like ankles. It was like,
But so he reminded me of, I know you guys haven't seen it, but so he reminded me of Val Kilmer in this movie Tombstone, because like that character was the fastest draw and like he was kind of like the wily one. And like looking at Lakeith, he had that energy, which was so cool to see a black dude do it. But when he goes, but I'm here with a bunch of violent types, you know what I mean? And then there were so many cool visuals, like when he sliced the dude up and then he pulls out a gun. But it's on him and you can't really see everybody else. But then they pull out guns. So like they kind of, it's like when people do that dance thing and there's like the arms start moving, you just see guns pop out. Like this shit is so fucking cool, man.
Yes.
It was so cool. And I'm happy that Regina kept shooting that boy because he thought he was a goddamn hero and they thought she was playing games. And she's like, no, fuck this little kid. And just kept shooting at me.
That is something that, even though as much as I don't like the, you know, how anybody can just get shot, the one thing I love in movies like this is stuff like that, when it's just like, all you had to do was listen to what I just said. And you didn't. And you kept trying to do all this other dumb shit.
when Idris gets out,
and then the reveal happens of like how it's somebody in government essentially just wants to get this general killed, like does not like this general, the one that's, you know, taking Idris to this other prison. And so it's like, hey, listen, we are actually hired to kill, we're gonna kill you now. And then they're like, who knows how to drive a train? And there's just the kid, everybody but him. And then it just slow motion walks through everyone getting, he slow-mo walks. What?
I don't understand.
He doesn't need to duck or anything.
Nah, dog, because they weren't shooting him. He wasn't about to get shot. Yo, if I found out Idris Elba is like 5'9", I would be so sad. Like they made him look so massive. And I was like, this is so cool, man. Like,
Idris is allowed to be 5'9". Don't do this to 5'9".
No, what I mean is he felt so larger than life. And when you think about it in this movie, his character does like a couple of menacing things. But in comparison to what Trudy and Cherokee Bill does, like, yeah, he fucked people up, but like they be murking niggas in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, just be shooting people. Also, you know, Jonathan Majors got to make out with Zazie, so, you know, good for him, you know. So, yeah, that's cool. You know, that's cool.
I mean, they're both very attractive
people. Yeah, man, that's cool. I'm just saying, I performed at the Pit and stuff, and I did comedy in New York. And
don't take
and stuff.
It back to the Pit. Like, that's going to supposed to be. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, you know, just saying, you know. I know, but it's fine. I'm just saying,
I was at the Pit too.
It's cool. And I get it. I'm very happy, you know, in my life. I'm just saying, you know, he got to make out with Zazie, which is probably like very uncomfortable because you're making out in front of people. Yeah, so it's probably when they met.
You know, you're at work. You're doing a job. No.
Probably wasn't cool.
Like there's a way you can kind of shut all that out.
Nah, bro. You know, I feel like no.
Really be in the moment.
Nah, I feel like that's
what great actors do. They connect with their partner. And they're in the moment.
I don't need this. What scene are we talking about?
Everything out.
Can we talk? Is the makeout scene? Is Cuffy here yet?
Oh,
Cuffy! I love Cuffy.
We did meet Cuffy. Cuffy was awesome.
She is great.
She was
put
great.
Her in everything.
And the second she shows up, you're like, all right, I know what's up. I know what's happening here. This is gonna be great.
Watchmen. It says she was in Watchmen.
Was she in Watchmen?
June. I don't remember it. Another black woman in.
She was June. Was she Grandpa's?
Oh, maybe.
Was she? Yeah.
Honestly, put her in everything. She is. Her look and her eyes was just like, man, like I'm on edge at all times. Just like, what's up? Who needs it? You know.
Danielle Deadweiler is who played Cuffy. That's crazy.
Yeah, she's
her name is Deadweiler.
Yeah,
that's the part
I
that
heard
you kind of want.
Danielle Deadweiler.
No, Bray said Daniel earlier, but I corrected, it was Daniel.
Yeah,
she was so good,
man. I said Daniel.
That's all right.
I said Daniel, and it's Danielle.
Yeah, it's all right. She was great. My God.
Yeah, she must have been. I'm trying to look it up. She must have been.
Then Zazie singing on stage with the gun. Like, everywhere she goes, she's got a shotgun. I was like, all right. You know, everywhere she go, just got that shotgun. Yeah.
There was also a nice moment where she punches out Jonathan Majors and he like kind of like he stumbles back and then he kind of like smiles and then he stumbles and falls.
Yes. But then smokes when he hits the ground. Like he's on the ground.
Yeah,
and
smokes
still
when he's on the ground.
Dog, it was so cool.
Their relationship was so cute.
Cuffy's big thing was, you know, she can hear a lot. She gets a lot of information because people don't really see her. You know, they don't like expect much from her, which is also why she can fight. She can, you know, some guys don't want to give up their guns, you know, and she knocks them out.
She gonna get that gun.
The only gun she doesn't get is the sheriff's when the sheriff goes in, right? Like, I mean, he doesn't.
Well, he's the marshal.
Like, I ain't giving you this.
Not the sheriff.
Yeah, the marshal. Yeah. It's like, I'm not giving you this.
This is my- he's like, this badge begs to differ.
Yeah. I was like, all right. You know what I'm saying?
She cool, said, bro. And here I'm the sheriff. And he's like, this badge begs to differ.
Listen, man. She saw the five bloods. She didn't want that smoke.
Mm-mm. The marshal was great. When he came in, when Delroy came in, I was like, this dude is going to live. There's no way he's dying.
I thought he was going to die.
No,
but he
was a character where you're like, he's not going to die because everybody else is like, bah, bah. Like they all talk smack. And he's just like, I know how to do this. I don't have to talk smack. I'm just going to live.
Interesting. I thought he was going to die.
Isn't Bass Reeves, isn't he like the OG Lone Ranger, or
I read rumors he was the Lone Ranger, but of course, you know,
yeah, they made
that's why I was like, he's not gonna die. I was like, that's Baz Reeves.
See, cool. I didn't even realize that. I just thought he was gonna die because I thought he was like at the end of his life,
he's and, famous.
I didn't even realize that. God, that's crazy.
That's amazing. And then we find out that they like pulled this little stunt so that Mary wouldn't really know that he was going after.
Did John know that was a stunt?
No. It fooled me.
I thought it was real.
Me too.
I thought it might have been a stunt.
Oh, did you? I thought it was real.
Yeah. I thought it might have been a stunt. I did. I thought it might. I was like, this is because when, especially, you know, I'm saying it just had that. It had something about it. It had some energy about it. I was like, they probably already worked some shit out. And then they did.
That's real. I knew it was up to something because he wasn't fighting it, but I just didn't know.
That was it. That was exactly it. It was like, wouldn't this be a bigger, like, this could be a bigger deal. He did sneak in his weapon, right? He gave Cuffy a gun, but he still had one gun. His weapon on him. I was like, okay, this... That was it. It was the weapon thing. Because like, this could be bigger than it is, but it's not. So,
and you're right. Sorry to cut you off. Bray, I think you're right. I keep trying to think of scenes, but I keep forgetting that a lot of these scenes are intercut. So like, while this is happening, we get this scene with Idris walking up on Deion Cole, which you did the line from, James. I think that's happening while this is going down.
Yeah.
And it's so cool because Deion Cole... I thought was going to be like literally like the sidekick with a bunch of jokes, but he kind of wasn't. You know what I mean? But when he beat that dude's gold teeth out.
And then gave it to the kids and was like, you're rich.
Yeah, you're rich now. Like, take these gold bloody teeth.
Yo, it was so smooth how like he got hit, backed up, Regina slipped him the gun, and he just, yo.
I appreciate it that they kept humanizing these bad guys, and then every time after they would humanize them, they would have them do something that was so evil.
Yes.
And I was like, I understand these characters, but they are bad. Like, these people are bad people. Yeah. Like, and they're all dirty. Like, they don't care, you know? Yeah. Like, he's like, let's fight, you know, let's fight fist to fist. And then here's a gun. I'm just going to beat you to death. But
it's crazy
with
because
the butt of this gun.
You're right, Bray. Like, their whole thing was he was just trying to make Black Wall Street. At the end of the day, that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
But like how he was going about it was such a terrible way to do it. But when you think about it, when you see most of these movies and like, and say it's
killed,
a white guy,
he, like,
they
kills
do the same
that
thing.
Dude.
Yeah.
He killed that freaking... Yeah.
Damn,
you're
right.
In the beginning, even when we learn everything, you're still like, you killed that... You killed, you know, Love's mom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no matter what, even no matter what you do, you're this person who we know is evil. Like, we know you to be evil.
There's only one part of this movie I don't understand. And it's about to come up. And it's like, when it cuts back to like, you know, Nate and him and the sheriff, and then all of a sudden Zazie and them show up, and she's like, I should go ahead because I was a part of the crew. And I'm like, you didn't need to go ahead. I was like, why?
It made no sense. They literally, because their reasoning was like, well, she's like, they're going to know you and they're going to know
Billy, and they're going to know Jim, and they know the marshal. And I was like,
but they know you.
Do you forget that Cuffy is there? Like, you have a person who nobody knows.
Who the no bit one is, knows. No one notices her.
Yeah, and her whole thing is she gathers information because nobody notices her. Like, we've established this. Why would you send in Zach? Yeah. Like, it makes no sense.
No, it made no sense. It made no sense. But then also, regardless,
it was so obvious. But I do love how it just was like, what were you thinking? Like,
yeah, because like, also, oh, this even if Cuffy went up to try to do the same thing or whatever, it would have been like, yeah, the coincidence of this. It's too soon.
But here's my thing. Cuffy didn't have to do this whole ploy. Cuffy could have just stumbled into town.
Yeah, and been like a spy and just spied.
Yeah. And just spied, because the only information they were trying to get was how many people were there, how many guns did they have, you know, where everybody kind of was. Like, maybe, like, it would still have been dangerous for Cuffy, presumably, because they're on like high alert in this town and they're like taking people's money and blah, blah, blah. But like, I still feel like Cuffy could have done it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was the only thing in this script that was like fully forced. Like, they were just like, well, we need Zazie to be captured.
It's
so.
Like, it makes no sense. It made the whole time I
kept
thinking,
come up
like,
with this like terrible plan. The one person who, if they're captured, Jonathan Majors is like gonna do anything to get back, you know.
It was funny because her scene when she finally gets to the town, I thought her standoff with Regina was so good. And also, it's one of those things where, like,
it was fun.
I thought Zazie held her own. I feel like anytime I see somebody, a younger actor with one of these veterans, I'm like, how they gonna do? Are they gonna, what's up? And seeing her there was like really good, man. Seeing her walk through the club and like that one person dancing in front of her, which to me was weird. But then also to the character, Mary also was weird. It's like, great. So we all think this shit is
good. Everyone is concerned about this.
They're all like a weird. But
I also thought Zazie held her own in this, but I was also just like, you're mean for no reason right now. Like, she was being, she was so aggressively like digging at her whole thing for no reason.
Yeah, I was like, man, y'all better stop playing with her. It was crazy that they really like tortured Zazie. I was like, oh.
Yes.
I thought at one point I was like, oh, they about to kill her. They were going to.
They just wanted to get Jonathan, but
I didn't think she's gonna make it. I loved the shot of both of their hats. Off to the side, like just the top hat and then the bowler. That was really cool.
Yeah, and then at night when they drag him out, and all of a sudden Jonathan comes through. Like, he kept saying the same thing every now and then. He's like, "All right," and like it was almost like he was talking to himself. Like, that was how he would always be like, well, fuck it, I'm going. Like, it was like him looking off. All right, Mary. All right. And he just gets up. And now they just like on the horse and they come into town and it's such a fucking cool. I don't know, man. Just seeing that slow motion.
In a V, right? Like, they come up in formation.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was so
like,
cool,
all
right, man.
Well, we got to make ourselves known.
I thought their intro was cooler than Idris's crew, because at one point, like, Idris and them, what was really, Regina and the rest of them, they're in the V as well, but the horses are all walking like straight up in uniform, almost like left, right? But it looks like a dance versus like natural. Right. Yeah. So, but anyway, go ahead about RJ. He was great.
Well, he is already talking shit, like too much shit. Immediately like, oh, are you Cherokee,
he's
Bill?
So I'm much.
Gonna, oh, you're the fastest boat. It's like,
let's
why
do
are
it
you
right here. It's like, let's come on, let's draw.
Yo. I thought he was going to get killed right there. I was like, man, keep going cheat. I looked at him, was like, he going to cheat. I was like, this dude ain't about to lose to some kid. He going to cheat.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to cheat.
I didn't even think he needed to cheat. I was like, you just might be too slow, bro. Like, you just might not be fast enough. You are talking too much.
True. But it's so cool that he was talking so much shit and could back it up. Like, you know, at the end when Cuffy goes, and I'm slower. Like, I'm slower than he was.
Oh, he was like, Jim was faster, yeah.
I was like, yo, fire. I'm all about it. Then they go rob the bank.
Yeah, but, the marshal told him. I was just going to say that the marshal told him, you know.
Keep talking.
Those who talk. Yeah, you keep talking, you get shot.
Stop talking so much.
I will say this.
So much.
This isn't a game. Stop playing around. They kept saying, I mean, the foreshadowing for his death was all over the movie.
The whole movie.
Yo, you gotta this stop. Isn't a game. We could die.
Someone shoot him so I can stop hearing him talk. Like, they kept talking. Yeah, but I did love this one. Yeah. Jonathan goes in. He sends everybody back. First off, two strikes, Mr. Majors. All right. First, it was kissing on Zazie. Two, you ain't got to be this ripped, bruh. Okay? Like, come on, man. Like,
He already had that strike with Lovecraft Country.
It was
they
different.
Were like, this dude's a nerd. Let's give him some glasses. And then he took off his shirt and it was just like,
this is the nerd?
He had every muscle. It was
just. If this is what people think about when they see a black everyman, I'm like, nigga, I got no, like this. At one point, I legit was looking at this movie and when they're like punching him, the camera comes around and I was like, the muscles in this nigga back. I was like, okay, whatever. This is cool. And like, this nigga is just chiseled and they show like the punch marks. I'm like, yo, this shit don't hurt this nigga. This nigga has the drawn on abs you get in a superhero costume. Like, he got the padding. That's real life shit. And Zazie over here looking like, I see you. She didn't look scared to me. She
that
was like,
the look.
She was like, I see you. Take them hits.
She was acting. She was in the moment.
She was upset in the moment.
For her man.
She was like, I ain't even worried. You all sweaty. You taking them hits. He tired. He more tired than you are. That's what I saw. I don't know what movie I was watching. That's the movie I saw. Damn, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, basically, it just gives him this ultimatum: like, you got to rob this white bank in a white town.
Yeah, get the extra 10,000.
You got to give me my money plus interest.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the interest was coming from. Yeah.
And you got to show your face.
And I love that they go to the white town, and it's literally white, like white sand, white.
Yes,
all the buildings are white. I was like, amazing.
Everyone's dressed in white. Correct.
Everyone
was in all white.
People were dressed in white.
There was a funny part when Ned has to take Cuffy and she has to change, and this nigga RJ is like, I mean, thank God because I was falling in love with her, but I just didn't know. I mean, I'm not the only one. I mean, I'm not the only one. Like, and the dude goes, you're the
and
only one.
Like, you're the only one.
That kid was good, man. Shit. He's so good. Bring Power Rangers back, damn it.
I know. It didn't do well enough to get a sequel, and I'm just so upset about that because I loved that movie.
You know.
When he goes to the White Town, it was so good seeing Cuffy actually, like, how that woman was making fun of her. I feel like that still happens every now and then. When you go in stores, you hear people talk about like how white folks would treat you in some of these places.
Well,
and
she
like,
said, I'd like to make a withdrawal, and they all laughed at her. They literally just laughed and said, you have to have an account to make a withdrawal, sweetie. Should I suggest maybe Redwood?
Ugh. Man,
that was messed up. But also, they know ain't no black people shopping. go to this bank.
Like, that's true. That's true. That's true.
It was like it was both messed up for them to talk to her like that. But also, ain't how it worked. You don't got no account. You don't got no damn account.
Ain't no nigga got no account ain't in this place.
There's no black people.
I love
here.
That.
Look at this
I love it. She tried to like get. She's like, that's not. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, one second.
You can't get the Yo,
can't
gun
get
out.
The gun.
Got it out of her dress. She was tripping on that dress. I loved it.
I also loved how quick that scene was. It was like, they really weren't dealing with white people. It was like, all right, we robbed this town. We're never discussing this again. Like,
yeah, and they didn't kill anyone, right? They were like, the hard part
they didn't
is,
kill anyone.
The hard part is not killing. It's not robbing. It's not killing.
Yeah.
But they did know he's done.
Yeah, they see his face. They see his face, yeah.
Yeah.
They saw his face. So they go back to the town. They got the money. Hook it up to some dynamite. I mean, you gotta hook stuff up to some dynamite.
It was two explosions. Yes. It was two.
I knew that first one, they just wheeled in the thing and you're like, you couldn't see in there. I was like, this is just rigged with dynamite.
But what about the beautiful setup? What about the beautiful setup? It's like my right arm and he blew the drain off and he's like, hey, which arm was that? Was that right or left?
Was that his right arm?
Right or left. Yo.
What I also loved about this too was that like they were the wagon was essentially at the end of the town, and then they were just like, this whole fight, this whole gunfight is going to be getting through the town to get to Idris, who's just in the top window of the
just watching.
It was just like this. It was so, I don't know. Again, as much as I don't like the shootouts and stuff, and I want everybody to live, I was just like, this is incredible.
My big thing is I was wondering if they were going to kill like Keith and Regina the whole time. So like that, I mean, the whole shootout was great, but then once we got to like the Regina Zazie fight, I was like, this shit is so fire, because it wasn't short. It was a long ass
also the
fight.
Colors, they were like fighting in like a cotton dyeing.
Oh yeah.
I think it's like a cotton dyeing room, and so they have all these colors and the cotton and the sheets with all, it looks so cool.
There was like colored powder and the sheets and the and the like physical dye, it's like the liquid dye. It was great.
It was so cool, man.
But what started the shootout was, didn't what start the shootout, wasn't it RJ getting
shot? It was
shot?
RJ, yeah.
Yeah, so like that, he, my man.
He cheated.
But my man, okay, first of all, my man was counting too damn slow. What was that about? Why was he counting
too slow?
He was
enjoying this count. He was like, I'm about to win.
He was enjoying it at the moment. He had a gun. He had a bullet with his name on.
Scratched Cherokee into the bullet.
I wanted him to win so bad, dude. But I knew he was going to die. Like, I knew he was going to cheat. We knew he was going to cheat.
Nah, he messed up. Yeah.
Shot him on three.
Why do they always count
so much? When he said,
all
right, count to 10. You know, why do they always count so slow?
Yeah. Man, and then like,
that was sad.
Oh man, it was so sad. And he was like, it was graphic. It was like, oh shit, that was your close-up shot, bro.
Right in the face.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the most graphic one.
Damn. And that shootout was crazy. Got that fight. Also, it was crazy that
Deion Cole getting blown up. I mean, that was fun. I was like, oh right. I was like, wait, they gotta show each bad guy kind of get one in a little bit. And of course we see, I mean, Cherokee Bill gets two in.
Yeah.
But I was like, we got to see Idris do something before he faces off with Love. And then Deion Cole came up and I was like, oh, there it is.
Yes, his kill. My man had a bag of dynamite.
Why did you just whip the whole house?
Yeah, what was he doing?
I mean, I will say, did you guys see this ending coming?
I did not. I had honestly forgotten.
So good.
The beginning. I had forgotten. Oh, what even happened?
I was trying to think it was going to be something like, "Oh, that dude kidnapped you. I'm really your daddy." That's what I didn't know what they were going to do, but I was like, "What is this conversation going to be?" But
and legitimately, when he started the speech, I was like, "I don't give a fuck what you have to say." I was like,
I don't care about your sob story. I don't care about your background. Yeah. Even when he started, he was like, my dad beat me. It was like, dude,
so
man, that ain't no excuse. Your dad did this, your dad. And then I think there was just a certain point where he was like, and then I saw him again and I was like,
You knew it.
Because he said he finally found his dad, I was like, Oh my God. It wasn't until that exact moment that I realized.
When he was like, my daddy was an outlaw, I had searched for years and I kept searching and I finally found him. And I was like, oh no. Oh. And again, Jonathan Majors is so good because like he has two moments towards the end. And I think people have already made a meme out of one of them. But like the one where he's outside when he gets shot in the shoulder and like he goes from being kind of like, I don't know, not scared, but like kind of confused to like instantly mad. It's like the transition is so crazy. But then when you see him in this scene, he goes from mad and he's still mad, but the tears are coming. And then the shock comes in his face and he just like, dog, I'm sorry, man. It
was too much.
Get your revenge.
It was too much. It was too, because he was just like, this is all I want. You are achieving my goal by achieving your goal.
Yes.
And then he was just like,
get your revenge.
It was too much. I couldn't believe it.
It was crazy. And then he was like,
He just kept shooting him, man. He was just like, oh, guys.
Yeah, emptied his rounds.
You are a buck, not a love.
Nathan Buck? Get your revenge, Nathan Buck. Nathan Buck? When he shot on the ground.
I must say, though, I saw this in a theater.
You saw this in theaters?
I saw this in a theater. And when Billy gets shot at the moment that he kisses his lucky coin, one person laughed hysterically. Like the theater was silent. And there was one dude like two rows back who just, it was the biggest guffaw I've ever heard. Like, my man thought it was so funny.
What?
I couldn't believe so it. There was something so cool about that too, that like, it's like at the moment of the kiss, you hear the gunshot. It's so crazy.
I knew that was when he was like, oh no, I didn't get shot. I'm good. And then he pulled this out and he's like, whoa. Well, I'll be, and I was like, no.
You knew he was going to die. You knew he was going to die. I was like, he talking too much. I did think that Cuffy was going to win that shot.
You did think?
I did think she was going to win because the way the shot was framed. I was like, she got this nigga. I do love the line that she was like, I'm slower than the other dude. Because I was like, that made his death even more sad to me. It's like, he could have easily won that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I don't know what to say. And also, I hope we get a sequel because Regina's still there. So we saw her with her bowler cap.
Yeah, that was great. That was really cool. Like, yeah, great. Right. She's not dead. She's still out there. They can still do more if they want to.
Beat over the face.
I think I talked about this on another episode recently. But like, also, if this was just the end, that'd be cool too. Like, if the end is just like, you know, she's still alive and like there's gonna, you know, and the thought is that like there's still gonna be tension between them, but you know, we don't actually get to see that played out in the film. Like, it's really good.
Yeah, really good. All right.
Yeah, man, I would normally say something about Hollywood, but I'm just, guys, you did it right. I mean, I think Hollywood did it right. My only thing is it should have been wide released. Maybe if COVID wouldn't have hit, it would have been wide released. I just don't want, this movie is too good for the Netflix. You hear about it for a week. It's like, it's too good, man. It's like, people need to keep coming back to it. They need to keep tweeting about it. Like the complexions, the costumes, the colors, like show this shit in schools, man. I don't care. Make sure people know it
show
exists.
Show this in schools.
Man, I'm honestly
so many murders.
Yeah, man, whatever. I see we had to watch documentaries in school. No more murders. That was real.
I just feel like, listen, I love this movie. I thought this movie was damn near perfect. I just feel like there's one thing that could have made it just a little bit better. I would have loved to have seen that scene when RJ's trying to get the bullet, you know, trying to get that bullet with Cherokee chiseled into it. You know, like we see him like mm-hmm. go into like a blacksmith's office and he's like, you know, hey man, like I need to get this. Yeah, no, he probably needed it like special, you know, like specially chiseled, you know? No. So he like goes, he goes to a blacksmith, you know, and then at the blacksmith, you know, there's a guy there hunched up and he's like, hey, can you scribble Cherokee building this? And then the blacksmith takes it and he starts doing it. And he's like, hey man, you really don't need to do this, man.
Oh my God.
Hey man, you know, you don't want to. And the blacksmith is like sort of chiseling away and he's like, listen, you got to be careful, man. If you try to do this, you're probably going to get shot. And then he's
wait,
like, man,
why would he
about
get
that.
Knows the future?
Yeah, no, because he can kind of, it's like a, he feels like he know, he can sense it, you know? And then right at that moment when he's counting, you know, he's like four.
Break.
Three. And then just at three, a basketball comes in and knocks the gun out of
a basketball.
Yeah,
wanted him to get to that part, Brady.
And then Steel is there, and he's like, "It's me, Steel. Okay. I got your back."
You wanted him to finish Steel the hit.
Yeah, and then Steel is in the
hey,
shootout.
Man, I like a good story.
Steel is
like a good long monologue story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Steel is in
this podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. All right. It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether it helped the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood.
I vote it.
But if a movie fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm.
James voted.
Okay, but if it doesn't help the cause, we don't give it anything.
Yeah, you know? Me and James,
so
we vote.
Cause. Okay, but on the count of three, I'm going to raise my vote.
We here.
Be complete. Well, because you don't know what I'm going to do.
Hey,
all
man,
right.
It's okay. We got three black fists already.
in 2, 1.
You count for yourself. There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, all is. Black fizz. All black fizz. I mean, I don't know, man. This movie was, I don't know, yeah. Maybe happy.
I mean,
don't know
I almost gave it a palm because Steel wasn't in it, but then I was like, you know what? It is probably, like, you know, you. Probably doesn't deserve it
don't
for that.
Don't do this. Don't do this, James. Don't do this.
I don't like
don't
you.
Don't do this. No, man, this is great this movie exists, man. Like, it, you know, one thing would have made it better if they would have had Black Men Can't Jump as like three snitches or some shit in that jump for like 2 minutes, and it'd have been a perfect Oscar winning movie.
A cameo like that is so funny. I love the idea of us being in a movie just to like be snitches. Like, we maybe have a 15-second scene. We're just like,
hey man, I don't know that nigga went that way. What do you mean? There it is. That's what niggas went. But yeah, that was great. I'm so happy this movie exists. I'm actually going to a screening today with Jonathan Majors.
Hey!
So I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
You gonna ask some questions? Okay. What you gonna ask?
I do. I have one question I want to ask, because I've seen some of his audition stuff, but I'm very curious to know like how he prepared for things before he kind of became famous and got like the bigger stuff. Like, what was his process for the smaller things when he was trying to build up his name? I don't know. I just like hearing how people do what their process for like breaking out characters are. It's just so fascinating. But anyway, I'm excited. I want to see him. So.
Awesome. Hey. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. You could follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website, where you find links to merchandise. You'll find links to all those things. We have a defunct Patreon. Oh, you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD. And also, I do these comics online. You can go to Rule of Three Comics on Instagram at Rule of Three. Three is the number three comics on Instagram. Check those out.
Oh, sweet, dude. You can follow me at Drew Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
If you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This one is from Rand Foots. It says, yo, Miracle at St. Anna was a Spike Lee joint that never got the respect it deserved. It was about the black soldiers during World War II that fought the Nazis, and it took place in Italy. It also starred a bunch of actors that didn't really get to star in bigger movies after this, like Derek Luke and Michael Ealy and others. So you guys should really review this movie in honor of the soldiers that this movie portrayed. And I know you get people asking you to review movies, but can you actually review this one? Thanks.
We talked about it. We talked about it.
Yeah.
That was the one we were just talking about.
We just did like a bunch of war movies, yeah. So probably not for a while.
But also the reality is, by 2016, Derek Luke and Michael Ealy, it's not that they didn't get to do big movies after that.
It's that they had done movies already. And then,
That's like one of the big movies that we're thankful that they did, you know, like after they had already got their start. But I haven't seen that, so I'll watch it if we want to do it.
Yeah, I'm down. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you. Oh, and next week we're going to be doing The Eternals, right? Eternals.
The Eternals. Marvel's Eternals.
All right. See you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Oh.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!